Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. State officials took another step towards building a new ferry terminal at the end of the road in Juneau. They say it could shave more than an hour off the trip from the capital city to the road system in Haines. Last week, the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities put out a request for proposals for a contractor to design and build the first phase of the project beginning this summer. State officials have talked about building a new ferry terminal at Cascade Point for at least two decades. Shannon McCarthy with the Department of Transportation says now the project is finally moving forward.
This is another investment in Alaska Marine Highway. So we're looking at the whole system, and we're going to keep on pushing until this is modernized and really convenient for Alaskans and very, very stable in terms of scheduling.
State officials say the new terminal isn't meant to replace the Auk Bay ferry terminal, but to add to it. A ferry leaving from Cascade Point instead of Auk Bay could shave 30 miles off the trip from Juneau to Haines and Skagway, reducing travel time on the ferry by an hour and a half or more. The first phase of the project includes extending the end of Glacier Highway onto land owned by Gold Belt Incorporated, an Alaska Native corporation. In 2023, Gold Belt agreed to partner with the state on the project. The phase also includes designing and preparing the area for development, along with purchasing the materials for construction. McCarthy says the state will put out a separate request for contractors for the terminal's construction soon. That's expected to start next summer and finish in 2027.
It really does come down to the customer in terms of we can turn, vessels around faster, we can provide more service, and we can provide it cheaper.
In total, the project is estimated to cost about $77 million. Some members of the Alaska Marine Highway Operations Board have questioned whether the benefits are worth the price tag. The state is accepting proposals from contractors until June 13th. Some Juneau residents are calling for police to crack down on homeless encampments in the Mendenhall Valley. But city officials and police say there isn't an easy fix to growing rates of homelessness and its impacts. At a recent Juneau Assembly meeting, Juneau property and business owners testified that interactions with unhoused people camping near the airport have been escalating.
We get attacked.
Tiffany Keenanman works at Alaska Glacier Seafoods. She told assembly members that she and her coworkers were recently attacked by a man with a knife.
So we had to call JPD. We have people out there loading vans, but that's not the worst of it. I mean, the safety part of it, somebody's going to get hurt.
Scott Jenkins owns property near Teal Street Center, which is also home to many services for Juneau's vulnerable communities. He says he worries about safety and public health.
Blocking the sideways, leaving trash everywhere, shooting up drugs outside people's windows, needles in the ditches and in our vehicles. Piles of human crap in and around the creek area on our property.
He said the encampments have begun to affect the way he views the neighborhood.
People camping is one thing, but should they be able to claim ground anywhere they wish as long as it's not private property?
Not really. City policy allows what's called dispersed camping only on unimproved public lands. But a 2024 Supreme Court decision gave cities more latitude to crack down on homelessness, when it said cities may ban people from camping in public places. Some Juneau residents are now asking that the city crack down. But city officials say increased policing won't necessarily help. Instead, the city has given guidelines to the police for how and when law enforcement should intervene, like after an encampment has caused problems for the surrounding community.
The police isn't going to solve homelessness, but if we can help some things, help them, do some basic needs, that might help out the other members in the community.
Juneau Police Deputy Chief Craig Campbell says JPD offers help with disposing of trash at the encampments, but he says it's hard for police to respond to calls where a resident reports illegal activity at an encampment. Often the only evidence is what that caller said.
Those are really hard ones to handle as a police, because by the time you get there, they're probably still not engaged in that behavior.
And he says that when people call in, they have to testify and sometimes press charges in order for a case to be prosecuted. He says sometimes callers don't want to get involved beyond the initial call.
They want that person gone. They want that person arrested, but they don't want to be the mechanism to make it happen.
Deputy City Manager Robert Barr says a Supreme Court case means Juneau Police can enforce city limitations on camping that have been in CBJ code for years.
We utilize that carefully and I would say both compassionately and firmly when we need to utilize it.
Barr says JPD generally begins to get involved when an encampment continually creates problems, whether it be trash buildup or open drug use. He says the city focuses on individual people or camps that repeatedly impact other people using the area, instead of widespread clearing of encampments.
Yes, the code says what it says, and at the same time, people have to be somewhere.
Juneau used to have a city-run campground near downtown that unhoused people could live in the summer months. Last spring, after considering moving the campground, the city closed it and instructed people to disperse to camp, to sleep on public land. Barr says data on the number of unhoused people living in Juneau is very limited, but it shows there are more people living outside now than in the past. And he says that's true nationwide, as affordable housing becomes more scarce.
Which is unfortunate, and of course something we don't control at the local level, but that is a reality that we have to deal with at the local level.
Kaya Quinto directs the Glory Hall homeless shelter in Juneau. City officials say encampments tend to cluster around the shelter because it offers services, and Quinto agrees.
I think the Glory Hall staff as a whole, you know, we're feeling very uncomfortable.
Quinto says just last week, two staff members were assaulted. She says JPD has been stepping in to help police the area around the shelter and has helped her and her staff feel safer. But she says the calls for increased policing of the area don't really make sense to her.
You know, JPD is doing all they can. So I think, I really don't know what else they could do. It's very clear to me, at least, that they're doing everything they can.
Quinto says some unhoused people using the Glory Hall services have told her they feel like they have nowhere to go. They've been asked to move over and over again.
Like, it's very obvious that, you know, we have more people who are unhoused than we have shelter beds.
And until that changes, she says she doesn't know of any realistic solutions to the increased encampments and threats her staff face. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The Trump administration is attempting to alter environmental regulations that seek to protect endangered species habitat in order to unlock the potential of energy and resource development, of which Alaska has many. As Shelby Herbert reports for the Alaska Desk, the move is raising alarms among the state's environmental researchers.
The Federal Endangered Species Act says it's unlawful for anyone to take an endangered species. It defines take as meaning to harass, pursue, wound, or kill, or, keyword, harm. For about 50 years, harm has also included any habitat degradation that could hurt an endangered species. But in mid-April, the federal government proposed axing that definition. It's a step in the Trump administration's broader plan to roll back environmental regulations to remove barriers from energy and resource development. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service received over 200,000 responses to its call for public comments about the proposed change, which closed earlier this month. Many environmental scientists in Alaska are feeling unsettled about whatever comes next.
Yeah, the implications of this are pretty severe.
That's Falk Huttman, a wildlife biologist at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. He says habitat conservation is imperative to the survival of endangered species across the United States and especially Alaska.
For instance, the boreal forest is a big chunk that we have in Alaska. There's a lot of it left. It's pretty pristine in some areas. So old growth forest, we have a lot of it. That includes tongass and others.
He's afraid some habitats will be thrown into what he calls a legal vacuum, giving developers carte blanche to do whatever they want, short of directly harming an endangered species. Retired environmental consultant Tor Jorgensen says one hypothetical outcome could be if, say, a company only has to worry about taking out a Steller zeider or a bowhead whale. They can easily avoid harming or killing an animal directly.
But if they alter or damage the habitats through their development process, they don't have to be concerned about that under this rule. Not having to be concerned about it would pretty much negate the need for having a survey.
Jorgensen performed environmental impact studies in the Arctic for decades, making sure big oil and gas developments up north weren't interfering with local vegetation, permafrost, or bird habitats. Jorgensen says, over his 40-year career, not all companies were hostile to those surveys. Some even shared important conservation research they gathered through the process.
Some companies were very proactive on their work. BP spent tens of millions of dollars on environmental studies to be proactive about gathering information for their environmental assessments. It actually benefited environmental management having all that data, and they produced a lot of data through their studies.
But if the regulations change, he says that relationship could dissolve. Some Alaska-based consultants are afraid their services won't be needed anymore, and the industry could collapse. Jorgensen says he expects there could be much less survey work to go around in the future. Huttman says he's awaiting the change with a mix of frustration and apathy. He says the ESA, even in its original form, cataloged imperiled species less thoroughly than other lists. But this move, he says, could pull out any teeth the ESA has left. And Hutman says Alaska will shoot itself in the foot if it spoils its natural beauty, which draws in people from all over the world.
Alaska owns a very high percentage of protected areas like national parks and where people want to see about the wonders of nature and of the environment. If you get away with that and turn it into a mining state where everything can be done, everything can be drilled, then we lose that market.
A spokesperson for the U.S. Department of the Interior, which oversees the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, declined to comment on the proposed change. Reporting in Fairbanks, I'm Shelby Herbert.
And all NOAA weather radio sites in Southeast Alaska will be down today through Thursday while broadcast equipment is being upgraded. Andrew Park with the National Weather Service says that many Juneau meteorologists will be forecasting out of the Anchorage office during that time.
So our office is going to be down in Juneau locally. That means our radio weather is going to be out as well. We are working with partners to try to figure out how we're going to get messaging out on our radios or the VHF 16, but our radio systems will not be online and be offline for a few days until our systems come back online.
Park says those tuning into NOAA Weather Radio during this period will hear a timestamp, a recorded message explaining the reason for the outage and alternative ways of getting forecasts that will air once an hour. Park says the forecast will still be updated on the NOAA website and Facebook page, and there will be staff at the Juneau office to answer phone calls. Other sources of weather information include local radio stations. In the event of significant events, the Weather Service will work with the U.S. Coast Guard to have information transmitted over Emergency Channel 16. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 49 degrees, and there is rain on the way tonight. This is KTOO.